19 through 20. As we remember the Messiah. This morning in Sunday school, I had not prepared the lesson. As Greta has been teaching Sunday school for the adult class for several weeks now. But now, as I taught it this morning, I understand why I needed to do it, because it sort of melded in with what we were going to be talking about today. And what it really boils down to is that we don't, and they didn't, as the disciples, as Jesus was talking to them, didn't really understand fully what Christ was asking them to do, and why it's important that we remember who He is and what He stood for, what He did for each of us, and why He is so important. You know, there's a lot of religious groups out there. There's a lot of cults. A lot of opportunities for us to be confused about what is important in our life. Most of these other religions, most of the other deities that people worship or gods that they supposedly want to follow, usually have some type of self-serving purpose. They either sustain the individual at that moment, if you do this or that, then of course you will accomplish or you'll be able to receive this benefit or that benefit. But grace, the gift that Christ delivered to us, is unique. The gospel, the good news, what we are to proclaim to the world, is not a false man-made religion, something that is focused on efforts that you and I can do something to accomplish our goal. It is simply a recognition of a gift that was given thousands of years ago. Many religions exist, even in the name of Christianity or a partial Christianity, that have all kinds of standards and checkoff lists and burdens about how we can earn our way to heaven. And so Christ, in these verses that we're about to read, told us how we're supposed to remember the grace that He offered to us. He told us how we are supposed to remember why and how it is so important that we go out and share the good news with the world. As we look at Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. God's word says, "And He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' And in the same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is poured out for you.'" May God bless the reading of His Word. Why is it so important that we celebrate the Lord's Supper? Every month in our church, and some churches, every time they gather together, they celebrate the Lord's table. Communion. Whatever it is that you want to call it. But why is it important to you? Why should you care whether you partake of these elements? Why is it so important? And the answer to that question is because it is our connection to understanding and remembering the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. We will physically eat a piece of bread. We will physically drink and feel the juice go down our throats as we drink it. And as a part of that, one of the things we learned this morning in Sunday school is that we are sort of experiential learners. We have to experience something in order to truly understand it. We have to feel it. One of our five senses has to be, and the more senses, the better, right? If we smell it, feel it, I don't know, what are the five senses? Yell them out. Taste, hearing, seeing, sight. Okay. So the many, as many of those five as we can encounter makes it more memorable to us that we're able to remember. And so as Jesus sat at that table with his disciples, he broke bread and he told them, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Why is it important that we remember he had a body? Why is it important to you that Jesus was a human being that lived here on this earth? Is it important? I don't know about you, but when I ask for help and I get a letter in the mail or I get a card in the mail, it's a little different than when I ask for help and somebody comes to see me. How about for you? A little different? God was here. He was physically present in our world. The other thing that remembering that he was in a body, that he actually physically existed, is guess what? The pain, the circumstance, the death, the everything that you and I have observed and will observe until the coming of Christ or until he calls us home, Jesus encountered the same thing. The bread that we're going to share today as a symbol, a reminder. Touch your skin. Take a minute and just touch your hand. You feel that? God felt that. God created that. He came down and he had two hands and he had two feet and he ate food just like you and me and he drank just like you and me. He watched people die. He watched sickness in his life. He had the struggle to have food to eat. He didn't even have to just worry about himself for food. He had to worry about 5,000 people who came to eat, who came to hear him preach. Had to feed them too. There isn't anything you and I can encounter in this world that God doesn't already understand. That's hard to wrap your mind around. Jesus knows everything that we are going through in our life. How can that be, Pastor? My situation is just so unique. I couldn't even think about it when I was coming up on this situation. Do you think I would have walked right into this situation if I could have foreseen it and walked around it? The short answer to that question is yes. Because guess what we do a lot? We repeat the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Keep going, right? I used to think it's because I had a hard head, but I really think it's because I'm a human being. Jesus did too. Do this as often as necessary in remembrance of me. He knows everything that you go through in daily living. He was the Son of Man. He was actually a human being. He was a physical body that existed here on the earth. He could touch his skin just the same as you did. He felt the pain that you and I feel. He felt the joy that you and I feel. He had hopes. He had dreams. We know about those. He prayed just the same as you and I pray. He taught us how to pray. We pray every week the same way that he did as he left the scripture so we would understand. That's part of what we celebrate with the Lord's Supper. And so then, as we celebrate and understand and remember he was the Son of Man, we also need to remember that he was the Son of God. And so God created us, Adam and Eve. He created the world. He created everything, and it was all perfect. You remember your story from Genesis, right? So why do we need to remember that? There's something better than what we got right now, folks. That's why we need to remember it. We need to remember that he was the Son of God, that he came back as a human being so that you and I could relate to him, we could connect with him, we could understand him, and he could understand us. But we also had something better. He was the Son of God. And he left us a way to remember that too at this table. And that was the fact that his blood would cover our sins so that we could be reunited with the Father. Oh, Pastor Chris, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the treachery that I have instilled in my life, that I have done. You don't know, Lord. I have already sinned against you. I've already been forgiven so many times before. I am an awful human being. I don't have the strength, the faith that's necessary to sustain myself. And what does the table remind us? The table reminds us that he lived, but he left us his blood to cover every sin. That's how precious his blood is. That's how precious the forgiveness that he offers us at the cross is. There is nothing that you can do to separate yourself from God. There is nothing that you have done that will keep you from God. Think about that just for a minute. And I've shared with you some of the stories, you know, the father that gave meth and killed his daughter. The murderers that I've represented, the people that have taken glee, as I believe they've been demonically possessed, who have killed people who believed that it was fun, it was exciting. Do I believe, as God tells us to remember, that his blood can cover any sin? If they will choose to follow Christ, if they will choose to confess their sin with their mouth, turn from the sin, ask for forgiveness, and acknowledge him as the Lord and Savior of their life. Do I believe, do you believe, that there is every sin can be forgiven? That's what this table stands for. That's why we need to be reminded. Because every month, in our case, every month, something new comes up that challenges my perception of whether or not God is as big as I believe he is. Can God really forgive this? Can God really, for the 15th millionth time, forgive that? Does he really have room in heaven for this person or that person or me? Can God really understand what I'm going through? That's what this table is about. This table is a reminder of his power and of his weakness. Because as powerful as we think we are as human beings, we are very, very weak. I don't have the strength to survive without the power of God giving me the strength to survive. That last breath that you took was an act of compassion from God. He understands. And as we drink the cup today, we need to understand that He has the power. He is God. And He has healed sin. He has taken it away. He gives us an opportunity to take it away if we will only allow His blood to cover it. If we will seek His strength. You know, what do you understand the good news to be? We can't make it so that it's, you know, we're going to have, we have to do this, that, and the other thing. If the good news is come to church on Sunday morning and sit in those pews and listen to me talk, if that's the good news, we're doomed. Because I'm not that entertaining, number one. And number two, those pews get hard after a while, don't they? The good news is not what you do. It's not you coming here to this church and sitting in these pews. It's not watching on Facebook. It's your relationship with God. And guess what? That gets stronger when you come and you sit in these pews and you see that there's other people in your community who are facing the same struggles that you are. And you have opportunity to recognize that as God's people, we're here to support each other. But you physically being here does nothing to earn your salvation. That's not an excuse not to come to church. I just want you to understand what it really is all about. Jesus came. He lived on the earth. He died. His blood was shed and flowed down the sides of that cross and of His body. But as it did that, it covered all of the sin of the world. That's why we got to remember Him. We got to remember the Messiah. We have to remember there is a hope, a promise that will definitely be taken into consideration, that everything that He promised us will happen. He will restore His creation to its perfection. And so this bread and cup today is a reminder of His power, but it's also a reminder of our duty, of our place in all of this. It's a reminder so that we can use those five senses to develop a connection and understanding of what God's love is all about. His love is about Him restoring us to Him. Not about you restoring yourself to Him or you getting something. It's a place of forgiveness. It's also a place of power. Place of power. How many of you ever thought about the Lord's table as a place of power? A recognition that when He did this, that as He sat there reclining at this table with His disciples, surrounded by the person that was going to betray Him, as He provided forgiveness to him at that table and wanted us to remember that even in that moment of recognition, because the next verse goes on to talk about what? The person who's going to betray me is sitting here at this table. That place of power. God put him there. Blood, God's blood, Jesus' blood, is the answer to sin. It's the antidote. It's the only thing that will cure us. It's the only thing that will cure us in the only way that matters, because our bodies may die, but our souls, if we believe in God, will forever be united with Jesus, with Him. will be resurrected. That's what this table is. A reminder that God lived as a human being and that his power is limitless. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn and the deacons come to prepare the table, let us remember, if you don't know him, if you have no connection to God, fix that. Don't leave this place today without an understanding of who he is and what his importance is in your life. Understand what the bread and the cup is all about. Why do we celebrate these things every month? Is it simply just a formality, just something that we do because we're Baptists and because we like to eat and we like to drink? No. So we stand and sing hymn number 319, Near the Cross. We're going to sing the first two verses of this song. I think I have more than that on the screen.
Sorry, I got distracted.
You got it?
Yeah, I told you to get it.
Cautions that were given by Jesus. He talks about the fact that many who take and eat of and drink of the table unworthily are sick and have other circumstances in their life. Some have even died. What does that mean? Well, that means that we have a duty to forgive each other. We have a duty to ask for forgiveness of our sins. And so as we take of this table today and remember the sacrifice of Christ, you can't truly remember it if you're holding a grudge or if you haven't asked for forgiveness. And so this morning I want to pray before we, as we pray for the bread today, we need to ask for forgiveness of our sins. And we need to forgive those who trespass against us, as Christ told us, as we pray for the bread.
Please bow your heads. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come into your house. We have the comfort of the heat and don't have to worry about anybody attacking us. And Lord, we thank you that you gave your son up. And his body was hung on a cross. And all we have to do is say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be with me. And you have promised a home in heaven. And Lord, we thank you for that. It's so simple. And we thank you for everything you give us in our lives. Amen.
Represents the body of Christ.
Father, a sinner saved by grace. That's all I am. That's all many of us are as Christians. The hymn says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. The good things that we can do, there's nothing good enough. Only what he did for us. Having faith in him, and that not from us, but it's a gift from him entirely. We thank you, Father, for that amazing grace.
juice in this cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary, that flowed down the side of the cross for the purpose of covering the sin of humanity so that we might be restored to a relationship with God. As you taste it, as you see it, as you smell it, know that it is real and that it covers the sin in your life if you're a believer in Jesus. Take and drink in remembrance of Him. And I stood to sing a hymn as we stand. We're in the midst of our cold season, so if everybody would just stand where they are, we're not going to hold hands today. The tide is just as strong. So let's sing the first verse of Blessed Be the Tide that Binds Us. Take us home safely and bring us back together again that we might be able to worship You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm just happy. guys, Nadine? All right, see you downstairs.